It's Tuesday evening, September 13th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your spirit to flow amongst us tonight, that you would be here, that your truth would be manifest in that we speak it, manifest when we receive it. Do that good work by your spirit. Amen.
Yeah. It says in John 16:13, it says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. And anyway, I was thinking about, you know, the book of Acts has got to be one of the most phenomenal books in the Bible. Because from the book of Acts, we learn some real major things. And one of them is the baptism of through Jesus. You know, and of course, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us why, but, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But it's the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's why our sins are remitted through his blood. But, anyway, what that did, it took some questions that I started to look at the book of Acts, I thought, and I could hear him, you know, early this morning, I could hear him for a couple hours. And but in one place, Paul says, he says, who is it? Who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And it's like, what do you mean Jesus of Nazareth? He doesn't still live in Nazareth. But it gives us the identity. You know, but he says it different in a couple of different places.
Yeah. I just, when I listened to you quote that scripture in John 16:13, I thought, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. You never hear anybody praying. You hear them praying, send us your Holy Spirit, Lord, send us your Holy Spirit. But you never hear any reference to truth. Now, that's the only thing he said about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. And give you this and give you that. No, guide you into all truth. Now, of course, he does do other things. But that's the main emphasis.
Yeah.
And that's why it's kind of hard to. I guess you just got to be patient. I was thinking about that. It's like knowing all these things, and if you have a conversation with some of these people, you're not going to go very far. There's no concept of truth or importance of truth. You know. I mean. I never saw it as much as I've seen it in the last 10 years, how emphasized truth is. You know, it's all over the place.
In the 18th chapter of John, and Jesus told Pilate, he says, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And I tell you what, there's a lot of emphasis in that.
That was his ministry. Makes it sound like.
Yeah.
Of course, now everyone thinks, okay, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord for the forgiveness of your sins, you've got the truth. That's it. That's all there is. You know?
Not so.
I am struck by how those, Jesus saying, those who are of the truth
by the way.
Hearing my voice.
Yeah.
I'm sharp by that.
Yeah, that's a good one to have. Keep putting it in your mind so that you know that you want to keep seeking it.
Better be a pretty high priority of ours.
Yeah, yep. Very high priority. You know. And you know, that's the thing that I'm doing my best not to cast any judgments or whatever. But you know, hearing that, slain in the spirit, and I'm just thinking, knowing people from that, that's it. The spirit's moving. We need the spirit. Remember how we used to always praying for the Spirit. What we were praying for was the good feelings of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know?
That's right.
That's all we wanted. We weren't looking for any truth or anything. We just wanted to be affected by the Spirit in it. So we'd laugh and fall down and whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm afraid, you know, you might hear the word truth expressed some, but it's kind of a throwaway word.
Yeah.
Without having much content or
right.
whatever.
It's just
weight. Doesn't have, you know.
Yeah, it's like, we're Christians. We have the truth.
Right.
You know, for the rest of the world to have.
Yeah, right.
Except that you don't. And we don't, necessarily. Well, I'll sort it out.
In my version here, it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So it doesn't just say the Spirit, it says the Spirit of truth.
What translation is that?
The NIV.
Oh. Well, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Spirit of truth. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Spirit of truth. Yeah.
And it also says that in 15, verse 26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me.
Yeah,
so it's a little different.
But it's
a few words.
I like that part is emphasizing that it's all coming from the Father.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And what this Holy Spirit is a truth teller. That's what his primary deal is. That's what he is. He's a truth teller. You know? Or a source of truth or whatever.
From the Father. I mean, it's just another aspect of God.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Well, it says, who goes out from the Father?
Yeah. I had a word that I thought was good, and I lost it, but it's another way the Father is expressing parts of Him,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Expressing his nature.
Huh?
Expressing his nature.
Yeah, expressing his nature. One of them is spirit of truth. You know? It's not a separate Holy Spirit. You know?
Yeah, well, I think you kind of hit it on the head when you said that, you know, back in the day, the goal was to come to church and get filled with the Spirit and feel good and da 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 da. That kind of led us down the path instead of coming over and waiting on God to give us revelation and anointing to truth, reveal truth in His Word.
You know, and I mean, I experienced a lot of that, and I believed it was genuine. Yeah. But
and there may be value. You know, there is a refreshing, whatever, you know.
It's where we were at that time.
Yeah, and I don't know if there wouldn't, you know, there's benefit. There's benefit to it. You know what
well,
I mean?
There must be, or you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't give it out, but it's like, but don't camp there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we camped there. Fortunately, God had mercy on us and got us out of that camp.
Yeah. In the seventh chapter of Matthew, it says, few there be that find it. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering by what?
Right. Truth.
I think truth is an issue.
I agree.
Few there be that find what?
It's a good question to put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make people think. Well, you don't actually want them just thinking, no. You want them calling on God to show them.
But if that forces people to not camp, and I think that's really, you know, we've kind of gotten the revelation that, you know, we understand it's an unfolding revelation, and it's not going to unfold by just standing still. You know, you have to seek Him, and He will in turn honor that, and revelation and the Spirit will come. And but we're constantly, you know, I always, the analogy that, but I think it fits so well, is we're running that race. We're running the race to salvation. And you can't run the race by standing still, even though it feels really good right here.
I'm trying to, like, if you went around and said, okay, what did you experience when you were slain in the Spirit? What did you experience when you were full of joy and laughing other than joy of the Lord, you know? Because I started thinking, and I can't remember what I got from being slain in the Spirit, other than the fact that I knew God touched me, which is a good witness.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
That's a good witness.
Yeah, have the power of the Lord upon you.
Yeah, to the person. So, but it's like, and then we just wanted to keep having that. We weren't looking for anything else, because we weren't, even though we were in the Word, we weren't really in the Word. You know, we weren't really absorbing the Word like we needed, which that's where we were. But see, the whole thing now is, and you got to give, if different churches are going there to a certain degree, but now that God's shown us, you can't say, you got to let them know, you can't stay there. God's doing this for a reason. It's to awaken you. To what? Well, we think He's shown some of us what some of that is that He wants to awaken you to. Truth, you know. More about Him from His Word, which is Him, you know. I mean, that's been, yes, I love those happy feelings and all that, you know. But nothing's better than being founded in the Word as a foundation. You know, that's where the real hope is.
It says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then in another place in Peter, it says to spend your time sojourning, which living is what it means here, in fear. I mean, spend your time, your life, in a fearful state. And it's not that you walk around afraid all the time. That's not what it's talking about.
No.
It's
fearful respect.
What does Paul say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord? Or the fear of the Lord? I don't know what he says.
Yeah, there's something in there.
There's something about terror.
Fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing the terror of the Lord, we instruct others or something. I don't know how he says it.
And we better not sugarcoat that.
No.
I think when it says terror of the Lord, it means terror of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we better not. It's not the whole story, but it's most definitely an aspect of it.
But, for an 86-year-old, I have more respect and fear of the Lord than I ever had.
I hear you.
Well, fear is to respect highly, to feel reverence and awe for, to be afraid of, profound reverence toward God, anticipate or awareness of danger. That's what fear means.
Right. Right.
So it's not just be afraid. It's be in awe and awe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when the Israelites saw Moses come down off the mountain, and they heard the voice of God, and he said, Moses, you speak for God. We don't want to hear his voice. And it was fearful. And you know what? If we heard the voice like that, it would be fearful to us too. That's why God has spoken through his Son. How does that scripture say it's a, what kind of a fear?
2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Oh yeah, that's what it says.
But we have made manifest unto God.
And the more you listen to the scriptures, the more you realize that there is a reason to fear fear God.
Mm-hmm.
Under no circumstances do I want to be on the wrong side. And right now people are not taught to respect God, to fear God, or to anything. They're not taught it. I never taught it myself. Too old to do much about it, but I could teach it now.
It's amazing how simple the word is once the Lord has shown a little light.
Yeah.
Kind of sit there and riddle me this, and then I get a little light, and it's like, oh, okay.
Blow away the fog, and
I can see. And you know, there is nothing inherently wrong in seeking God. You just have to know that is not the end goal. Seeing him or seeking him is not what you want. He wants you to know him. I mean, you know, I know you not. I mean, those are words you just, I mean, those are harsh words. Get away from me, workers of iniquity, for I know you not.
I don't know if you're running into him or not.
Are you hung up on your compadre there?
No. I just pushed myself back in the thing, but I realized a chuck back there somewhere.
Yeah, he's
he's handling it. Chuck doesn't ask an awful lot of you, Keith. He doesn't say, hey, old man, what you doing to me?
Well, I told him when he gets to be this age, I'll take care of him. He don't want me to.
You mean you say this guy here is a dear of me? What's going to take care of? I'll do that.
Yeah, he was a year and a half old when he came to deliver us. Ever learned to fish or anything?
You know, I hesitate to project what all is going to happen with these people using our building, but and we've been a little apprehensive about what impact it might have. Maybe they need to fear us. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think we should be. Should be fearful or apprehensive? I don't think we should be. Because God will take care of it. He's taken care of us so far.
I mean, there could be all kinds of scenarios. Could end up being here 3 times and find out what we're really about, and half of them split and half of them stay. You never know.
Or end up like us with just a few.
Yeah, that's right.
A few be with us.
But,
you know.
I certainly see it as potentially an opportunity, though.
Yes, I do, too.
We need to trust.
I'm still going to see something. And I don't know what it is. How it should all be, I don't know. But Lake Cliffish and Leroy Matthews and Carol. It's an ongoing thing about the Lord. Carol she loves to get in on the conversation, and we do. And it's like, I really don't know how to do much different, you know.
As I don't know if I want to mention the name, but has anyone else been coming the few times you've met with Carol at a pizza place?
No.
No?
Glenn and Barb were there last week.
With Carol, right?
Yeah. Mm. And they gave us a ride.
Well, there's a lot of unknowns coming up. So whatever we do, we should make sure whatever we do is in the Lord. And let the Lord direct us and not try and direct the Lord.
Mm. I think that's right, Glenn.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at it as man, of what's going on, and let's not judge it because we're men and people looking at it. We need to let the Lord make the decision. You know, it's too easy to make a snap judgment, and that's
yeah.
So, are we being tested in this just as much as they are?
I have to keep praying about that I be open, you know, be directed by the Lord.
We need to separate the physical.
I'm a little apprehensive about being at the first service, but I don't know. Be getting called up.
We need to separate our spiritual concern from our physical or whatever you want to call it.
to a class reunion.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
Got a ride up there, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go up with Candy and Pablo.
Yeah.
The last time that we went up, or one of the times, they went with us, and they started talking to a couple that were somebody that I knew, and it was really, really good. And that couple, they were impressed, and so it might just work out again. I can't. I can remember the guy's first name, but that was about all I remember.
You know, I was on Sunday, this last Sunday, I was listening to what people had to say during the service, and I had the idea, the impression that, boy, this place is really prepared for something mighty to happen in God. I just felt that a lot of it was just clearing away a lot of our own self-righteousness or whatever, you know, a lot of fixed notions about what God is or whatever. I just, you know, for whatever that's worth, and it might not be worth just a whole lot, but it was my sense that, boy, this place is prepared for something really powerful to happen with God.
I don't disagree. I think we're seeing something powerful happening in Pablo. And I think what, maybe to kind of jump on what you're saying, and maybe more importantly, given our background, is I don't think that whatever powerful thing God does, we're not going to be sidetracked by the shiny object.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
I think we're going to be really excited to see how this is lining up with Scripture and being blessed by how God is fulfilling what He said He would fulfill.
I'm just thinking, you know, for Pablo's sake, the Lord is probably showing him the side that he never saw that we saw.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he never... he wasn't here at the time, all this other stuff, so maybe it's just to let him see that, and then hopefully he would go, okay, but that's not all. I got this other foundation that's been given me. You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. But
well, I think it's true. Pablo has not seen a lot of the fruits of the Spirit, but he's seen a lot of the foundational cornerstone of the Scripture.
Yeah.
Which in a way... would be a little bit more exciting. I mean, you would start to get that understanding and see revelation, and then on top of that, you see, and in a way, that's kind of what we've been asking for. We saw God's power and beauty and love and its impact on us enough that it kind of knocked us off of being focused on truth and the Word of God. And now we're kind of saying, okay, we had that taste. And now we're prepared for it, as you said. Now we're looking for that to come again. But how will it be different because of how we're different? I mean, it's a pretty... exciting thought.
Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. I think that fits pretty much perfectly.
Very good, Bart. Once again, yeah, it took all our yammering and put it down. Doesn't
it
hurt your
sure.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's in the Word, not me.
Yeah, sure.
No, but it's good to know because it
it reinforces that where we're kind of.
He'll no longer do it the same way.
Yeah,
it's going to change.
Yeah.
Well, and I've been talking in parables, but those days will stop.
Yes.
You know,
I'll just speak to you.
Yeah. Kind of like a dog judgment is going to come in a parable. It's going to be pretty clear. You know, we'll know exactly
that's
where.
Exciting.
And know exactly where that is. So.
That is exciting.
Amen.
Well, there was a pretty sizable number of people in Seattle that understood that Jesus was a man. And so I wonder if somebody ever got into that. They were in every phase of the chapel, you know.
But anyway, isn't that where someone probably started breaking away?
I don't know.
I don't know either, because I don't know that much about what was going on out here. It was probably more towards the end, because of Brad Medelon, possibly.
We attributed it solely to Brad Medelon. It may have been just a number of people.
Yeah.
You know, our contact is with Brad Medelon, but there could have been, you know, right?
I don't remember necessarily saying it was a group of us, but maybe that was just, I wasn't listening.
Well, he may have been the only one here in Wisconsin. But
well, he was. Yeah. And maybe he just felt led to come back here and try to share that, you know.
Right. And he didn't find such fertile fields. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to see it in the scriptures, but you got to look.
Well, you got to have it revealed, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you were to make yourself, okay, I am going to go to the Bible, and I am going to prove that Jesus was God, you know. Oh, you'd have a problem. And you would hope that whoever was doing that would have an open enough mind to say, oh, I think I'm mistaken. I don't think he is God.
I don't think they do that, though, Jerry.
Well, they don't make the search in the first place.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
well,
if they were to.
This is true, but I think.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, who knows what.
Well, I get it. You know what it is, though. It's that how many thousands of years, probably a thousand years of indoctrination,
yeah, right,
to a certain point. So that's the only scriptures that you identify with, because it proves what you think is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you were to, I am gonna prove this thing by going to the Bible, and so I'm gonna, you know. And you,
how open is your heart then to the truth?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You
see, that would be it. If that person could go, no matter what I think, if I see it.
Chips fall where they fall. Yeah, right?
That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
But that's how God got us hooked. Was
One of the major areas of revelation is in the second chapter of Hebrews, or of
Acts,
not Philippians, of Colossians, or
Corinthians.
No.
Maybe you have to tell us what the truth is, and we can tell you where it is.
Well, he said that being in the form of God, he thought not robbery to be equal with God.
Oh, that's
the Galatians or Colossians?
Philippians, isn't it?
Oh! I think it. No, it's Philippians.
But
anyway, when you look at the thing real carefully, it becomes obvious that he's a man. And being fallen in the form of a man, he became obedient. God individual would not become obedient to the cross. It had to be a man.
And he didn't then, because he died on the cross and went to heaven, all of a sudden turned into a God.
No.
Because Revelation.
He was a glorified man. And that glorified man is really something.
It really is something, but it's not God.
No.
They have these cliches that people use, like he was fully God and fully man. Where did he get it from?
Well,
not out of
the Bible.
That's part of the Nicene Creed.
And God became a man and walked among the earth. Walked upon the earth. Yeah, right.
Why would he have to turn into a man to walk the earth?
Yeah, it's just, that's...
You know? And why did Jesus say, Father, why did you, when he was on the cross, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
And then you go to John 4.
I don't know, it's just...
5. God is spirit. So a spirit can't become a man. I don't believe. You can be in a man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was a
man
full of God, full of the Spirit.
And he was in Jesus.
Right.
The Spirit
The
Spirit was in
and
Jesus.
And there's a place I just read the other day where it's given attributes of the God, and it says invisible. It points out the fact that he's invisible. So how are you going to know where he is on the earth?
And didn't,
you know?
Didn't you say at one point, your Lord and my Lord?
Yeah. No, your God and my God.
Your God and my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I go to your God and my God.
There's so many of them. I mean, isn't there?
And then that scripture in Luke, is it the 24th chapter? Where it says, does a spirit have flesh and bones?
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Now, you know, angels appeared, but you know what? I don't think they had flesh and bones.
Well,
I mean,
who knows what they had? You know,
I don't know.
Jacob wrestled. Jacob wrestled with one all night long.
I meant they could have form,
but
not necessarily made of flesh and bone.
Yeah, they talked about the weight, how bright their clothes was, and that they wore stuff, you know, the brightness and stuff. I mean,
and I don't think anybody could say it had wings.
No. That was man's. Well, how did they get around?
That's how they were.
Must be wings.
I thought it was the man.
I'm going to get sick of the leg.
Well, you can fly away without wings.
That's
so.
Right.
Your spirit can fly.
Sure.
God wants you to fly. You don't need wings.
No.
Yeah, Enoch. Was Enoch that went up? It took Enoch?
Yeah.
He flew away.
All
right. He didn't have anything of it.
That little thing that God has, he's not really bound by the laws of physics.
No.
It's like, well, how does this happen? Any way he wants it.
Yeah.
And you just got to go, okay.
I guess when you...
And then this verse is always had to be kind of stymied. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Yeah.
We're members of that, huh?
That's in Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
Kind of relating to him as a man, isn't it?
But we're members of it. I know, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that part of it, that's the little... I don't know if I know.
In a way, kind of relating to when he came back to the upper room. You know, he says, spirit and flesh and bones? And
Doesn't that sort of remind you of that a little bit?
Well, it wasn't the upper room, it was just a room where they were at.
It's a little puzzling, but there's no room for any God in there.
No.
When we're, you know, when we are members of his flesh and bones,
yeah.
that's not a God enterprise going on there. That's man. That's us man and him man. Yeah.
But if we're in a glorified flesh, or whatever you have.
Flesh and bones, I suppose.
Glorified bones?
Yeah, right. I'm up with a glorified bone.
As long as I'm glorified, I don't care.
Right.
Whatever we need.
If they called you a bonehead, Keith, as long as it was a glorified bone, hey.
Have at it.
I was not offended by it at all. I got thinking about it. I thought, I wonder how many other people think of that.
No, well, you know, I could have been kidding me, like, hey, what are you boneheads doing? Which, you know.
Which would be characteristic.
Yeah.
He made sure that there was no way I could get offended by it.
No, right.
And I can't.
Well, you know how Eli thinks was bad.
Yeah.
He goes up to him and says, hey, genius, nice job.
How can you get offended with Curtis?
Yeah.
They have a nice roughhouse relationship. Eli and Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not the same now. But.
You know, I've actually seen Eli come back after work and sit down and talk to his dad about something that happened and, like, you know, we were doing this like this and. So how would you have gone about this? I mean, it's still
really relating to that. But I mean, the jostling back and forth as much probably because Pablo's in a different place right now.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
maybe not.
I don't know that.
Well, that would make sense.
I guess, yeah, I'm sure he still has a sense of humor when he's feeling good, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he misses his dad. That's, oh, yeah, I'm sure he enjoyed going to work with him.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Pablo, when he's feeling good, I'm sure still has a sense of humor. I mean, to where
he's Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, count it not robbery is Philippians 2:6. That's where the scripture is, Philippians 2:6.
That is not robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
But he made himself of no reputation. And so if we just stop and think of what we just read, but he didn't take on the form of God.
He did take on the nature of God.
He took the nature. Well, the nature of God was on him, was in him. I think when he became the Word.
Yeah.
A form of.
And we can also become.
A form of, it says. Oh. The very nature, a form of. Is how it explains, or the form.
Uh-huh.
Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage.
See, there's how it says it, totally different than,
and
it makes much more sense. But read that again, Bud.
Okay. Who being in very nature God, or form of, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
Yes, that makes a whole lot more sense to my natural mind than the way King James has it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or the New King James.
I mean, yeah, both of them.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem one of them that he thought it not something to be, a thing to be grasped. Does it say that in one of them?
Say what? I'm sorry.
That he didn't think it was something to be grasped.
That's, I think that's, yes, that's how it's expressed there in Philippians chapter 2.
But it's not the English.
Not, you thought it not robbery or a thing to be grasped, someone else or something. Another translation talks about it. Didn't think it.
Something to cling to.
I found film, right?
It's after Ephesians.
Oh, it's that part. Okay. There it is. Mm-hmm. Two.
The Berean literal says, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider to be equal with God something to be grasped.
Ah, that's right. Here.
It's the Berean literal Bible.
Berean, yeah.
Which is one that you talk about quite often.
Now, you know, it's, you know, here's the other thing. We kind of miss this first part. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God.
Yeah. You've got to read it in context.
Yeah.
It is talking about what we should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you if you put it in isolation,
right.
You're not
no. That first part, that's the substance of what we're saying. Because it's relating to us the same. Being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be, but made himself
say, it's got to be God, without any kind of awareness of the potential for what man, what can happen with man.
You know? Well, it's like 11, that every time you should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God,
scripture says we can be exactly that. So you say you can be God. Well, that's what it said. If he is God,
yeah.
And it says that we can be him, then you're saying we can be God. And is that what you're, is that the position you're trying to put forward? No. We can't be God. But he is God. But it says we can be him. Well, how does that work exactly? I can share a testimony going back to something you were talking about earlier. This church had a lot of really radical ideas that I thought were wrong when I first came here. I was hell bent on thinking that's just how wrong they were. To say such foolish things like rock and roll is the devil's music, and I go, well, that's just not true. I mean, some music is bad, some music is good. I sat down one day and I said, scriptures. And I've been for about 30 minutes, my head hurts. My head just hurts. And then someone said, well, it's really, really hard to pick up on and make the word align. I remember that's 36, 37 years ago. And we kind of went like, well, what are we doing? We're just letting him talk to you, and however that washes across you, that's how this works. So I'm not going to get him to align to my thinking. He's going to get me to align to his thinking. Yeah, my head doesn't hurt. Charlie's making this comment, these people would say, this proves there's God. It says this, I'm going, and you go, that's not what it says. These are the same people that say the Trinity is real. You don't mention it in the scripture, you don't look for it because you won't find it, but it's real. And if you take that position to have an argument like, look, this is the truth, you have a hard time arguing the word with someone and saying, yeah, but the stuff that we're talking about now isn't included in the word. It's so important. I mean, you know, how many of you know, if God really wanted us to know this, I would have thought he would have really highlighted it. He didn't shy away from the dying on the cross and take God, you know, in you, in that kind of conversation to kind of get through that ice. You know,
I was taught that it's a mystery, not for you to know.
Yeah. Well, and that's the perfect answer. Yeah. You can't explain it, you can't find it, and you can't declare
it. But it's real.
But it's real, and it's so important that it's kept hidden.
Then there's a scripture that says that he will reveal all mysteries to you. Mm-hmm. Here, I just came across this. We were quoting it a lot here tonight. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a period, though.
Amen.
It's a semicolon. Yeah. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Amen. Yeah.
That gives you even more hope. I mean, you know, it's good to, have fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So it's not a thing you need to fear when you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because you have God working with you, you know.
And if you're a little worried.
That's a very positive scripture, though.
Huh?
We're told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and then it puts it all on God.
But God's going to do it for us.
You know.
Well, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You work it out, but it's just, but God's going to be doing it.
That's to accept him, I think.
I wonder if maybe that working out has a,
accept
or something. Yeah.
Whenever I come across one of those, I go, he told you that I couldn't figure this out because it sort of confused me. And if I'm confused because he hasn't revealed some truth, I'm right where he wants me to be. Because he told me I'm going to, I'm not as Ken got the revelation. Not my intellect that's going to make this all click into place.
But on the one hand, on the other hand, it makes perfect sense because we have some responsibility. But what I'm doing, because God's going to be, I mean, that's true. it gets a real true thing.
Amen. We
have responsibility, but I'm doing good.
Well, that's the seesaw I go back to and forth on. We have responsibility. Yeah, in spite of that, that doesn't guarantee anything.
No.
But if you do nothing, you kind of say, well, if I'm sitting, throw a fleece out and say, hey, look, you want me to know? You're all-powerful. Make it happen. I'll be over here when you decide to do it. I don't know if that's the way you woo God.
That's right.
No, it's starting to make more sense to me. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing it's God working for you. You need to have a fear and trembling of your own salvation, but
you know that it, you have a God that's working for you.
Yeah.
See, okay, at times we're going to fear, like, maybe we don't have our salvation. Well,
we have a role in it, though. I mean, work out your own salvation.
Yeah.
That sounds like working.
Well, it's making a decision, or it's making, receiving truth that God, it's God helping you in your fear and trembling, you know, to get you through it.
Yes, no. You got to feel a little bit more encouraged if you know God's in your corner.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that side. On the other side, your point is, you can't stand back and say, hey, we'll do it. All powerful. I'm over here. You know where I am. You got my number.
You are to work out your own salvation until you're in trouble. Yeah.
You know, I've often had this concept of a little bit like this about faith, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Okay, so you have to actually hear the Word of God. And I always think there's maybe wrongly, but you need to step out in faith and then have faith come back to you. But if you don't step out, or if you don't start to work out your own fear, then God's waiting on you to show faith in Him, and then He'll bless you. Anyways, it's not just, I got to do this and all is good, or He's going to do all this and it's good, but I think there's a little bit of, you got to do this and He will meet that and bless you for that.
Well, obviously He gave us some kind of responsibility, or we would be puppets.
That's right.
Well, you know, right, that's where the free will comes in.
Yeah, I mean, so that says, yes, there's decisions that you got to make.
Well, in deliverance too, we've noticed that if the person who's being prayed for declares that they don't want whatever it is, it seems to weaken that demon, and the chances of being freed are better.
I want to read Philippians chapter three, verse twelve. Excuse me. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's most definitely effort there, which isn't to say that God isn't the one that determines somehow. But yeah, no, that's, we try to say, just sit back and let it happen. Then quote that scripture there in Philippians 3.
Yeah, that's a bad choice.
Yeah.
I do not count myself to apprehend or understand the way you want to look at it.
Got it. Right, yeah.
Well, God bless you.
He's tired.
Hopping out?
Mm-hmm. Well, Chuck's getting pretty tired.
I'm home in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always tell Susan after she says something like that lightning could come right through the building and get you. Got a little whopper like that. God bless you all.
Are you getting tired?